Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing, may they be acceptable in your sight. God, our great rock, God, our Redeemer. Amen. As you're considering what you're going to sit down and watch with your family on any given weeknight, perhaps you're considering what kind of TV show or story or maybe even book you're going to read on a given evening. And as you make your decision, I'm sure you're thinking, well, there's different types of stories we could choose. So some stories are really easy to watch and to digest. Think of watching shows like The Big Bang Theory, you know, not a whole lot to think about there. Whereas there's other stories that maybe are a little bit more, have a little more depth to them. Maybe you pull out that documentary you've been wanting to watch that everybody says you should watch, but you know that whenever you watch it, it's going to kind of depress you a little bit. You know what I'm feeling? Yeah, different stories and different movies, different books have different textures to them, don't they? There's some that are really easy and fun, and there's others that have a little more depth to them. They speak to the heart of our fears and our hopes and our dreams. Some may be lighthearted, and some days we need the lighthearted, and some days they may be a little bit heavier. And as today we look at Mary's story, we find that her story has a certain kind of texture to it, a certain kind of feel. Now, Mary's story is not one that we always give a lot of press to in Protestant churches, I've found, at least not in my churches growing up and then through college. We didn't really talk a lot about Mary. I wonder if maybe this was because we thought the Catholics kind of had the corner on Mary. They talked about her a lot. Maybe it's that there was an obsession with Joseph and his virtuous decision to take Mary as his wife. Maybe it's because we're really quick to focus on the how of Mary's pregnancy versus her as a person. Or maybe it's just a propensity to not focus on the role of women characters in Scripture. I'm not sure why we don't always focus on Mary, but or at least not this part of the story. The Scripture that Doug just read is traditionally called the Magnificat, which is Latin for "My soul magnifies the Lord," simply the beginning of Mary's words in that song. It's considered the alternative psalm reading for this Sunday in the lectionary. And as we were working through the lectionary, and Gary said, well, you can preach on whatever lectionary text you want to, I chose to pick this alternative one because I didn't feel like it always got brought up. It's only found in Luke's gospel, and if we're not careful, we can quickly rush past it in this story of Christmas. We're always quick to get to the manger, and to the shepherds, and to the magi, but sometimes we can miss this powerful song by a teenage woman who God has chosen to work in and through. It's a song that maybe changes the texture of Mary's story a little bit. Now the Christmas story in Luke kind of takes its time to develop. We read Matthew, and Matthew gets to it pretty quickly. We read John, and John really focuses more on the divinity of Jesus. We read Mark, and Mark doesn't even talk about the birth of Jesus. But the first thing in Luke's gospel is John the Baptist's birth being foretold as Elizabeth is miraculously pregnant in her old age. Then immediately the angel Gabriel visits Mary and says she is highly favored. And Mary is perplexed at these words, and I think the reason is because she probably didn't feel very highly favored. She was most likely living in poverty in a backwoods area of a territory occupied by the Romans. But the angel says she's going to bear a son, and she will name him Jesus. This child's going to be great and will be given the throne of David, and everything is going to change because of him. And Mary, in right fashion, asks, well, how can this be since I am a virgin? Gabriel responds that the baby who is to be born will be from God. The Holy Spirit will work in her. He will be holy and called the Son of God. Now we have to back up for a second here, because if Mary is going to be with child before she is married, this means she would have been an adulteress. And I really don't think that the court would have accepted the Holy Spirit defense at the time. There actually would have been a great amount of danger and at least intense shaming and critique, even of being stoned if Joseph wanted to take that route. It can be easy to forget as we get to this Christmas story. This was a dangerous call for Mary from the beginning. There was this great risk involved in her saying yes. But what does she do? She says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She chooses to allow God to work through her. Mary is not some passive agent. No, she chooses to say yes to God. We have this young teenage girl being told by an angel she's going to have a child at the risk of her life, and she says, "I'm the Lord's servant." I love this idea that Mary is the first to say yes to Jesus. Before Jesus is even born, Mary is saying yes. So she sets off with haste to visit Elizabeth, her relative, who then she finds pregnant with John the Baptist. And John is already ready to do his job and prepare the way for Jesus by leaping in his mother's womb when he hears Mary's voice. And it's here that Mary proclaims this song. This song in which she proclaims about not only the nature of God, but the ministry of the child who is to be born. God's not a God of the status quo. The mighty will be humbled. God will work through the lowly and the weak. Mary will be called blessed because God has chosen to work through her to bring about salvation for the whole world. God shatters the proud and their thoughts. He brings down the powerful and their thrones and lifts up the lowly and the oppressed. The hungry are filled. The rich are sent away empty. Mary proclaims in her song these great reversals of fate. In other words, the way the world is now is not how it will be. The coming of Jesus means that the world gets turned upside down. And Mary is the one who is bearing this message. She herself is case in point that God chooses to work through the lowly and the marginalized. And y'all, this isn't simply a metaphor or a spiritual call. It's talking about real change in our world. Things get turned upside down. Yeah, different stories have different textures, don't they? Some are rough and difficult. Others are smooth and comforting. And the story of Mary, I think, has a little bit of both involved in it. But yet, Mary's song is not one that we would normally put on a Hallmark card, is it? I mean, can you imagine that? Oh, the Lloyds sent out their Christmas card again. It says, "Scattering the proud in the thoughts of their heart, bringing down the powerful from their thrones and sending the rich away empty. Merry Christmas 2019. Now that I've said that, I'm sure someone from the Peacemakers class will send me that card. But no, it doesn't end up on our Christmas cards because this doesn't always fit our nice sentimentality about Christmas, does it? The story has a little roughness to it. There's a little bit of grit going on. Mary is not necessarily proclaiming peace on earth and goodwill toward all. She's saying, no, things are about to change because God is going to show up on the scene. And all of our values and all of our systems are going to be brought into question. Yeah, her story can be a little gritty, but I think in the best possible way. Mary proclaimed that even from a lowly position, she has a voice and she will use it. Sometimes I wonder how Jesus grew up to be who he was. We don't really hear much about Jesus growing up. We get snippets here and there. But we have to remember that Jesus was, of course, divine, but Jesus was also human, which makes me believe that who his parents were actually mattered, that the way Jesus was raised might have actually mattered. And I wonder if Mary wasn't chosen to be Jesus' mother on purpose, because God knew that Mary would instill in his son a passion for justice, a desire to lift up and come alongside the lowly and the poor, the ability to be bold in his speech, just as she is, that she would give him the character of a prophet who would speak truth to power. I wonder if, as Jesus was falling asleep, Mary would hold him in her arms and sing this song as a lullaby, this upside-down and perhaps even dangerous song if the wrong people heard it. And friends, I think we still need Mary's song today. We need her story today. We need her song as a reminder that God continues to work through the lowly, that no one should feel unworthy of God's Spirit working in their lives, that God works in ways we could never imagine. We need her song today because we need reminded that when God comes on the scene, everything changes. Maybe it's been too easy to gloss over these powerful words and the upside-down nature of God's kingdom. Maybe the texture of the story needs to be a little rough as we look out into our world and at our lives. Maybe some things need turned upside down in our own lives. Maybe we become complacent and comfortable. Maybe we need shaken up a bit by the reality that God is becoming one of us. But we also need her proclamation because it's a reminder that our world is not all that it's meant to be. See, Mary's proclamation has both a past and a future orientation to do it. God has done these things and will do these things again. As such, Mary's proclamation might unsettle us a little bit, but should also give us hope. Hope because the story of Jesus is ultimately one of peace between humanity and God, even if that peace might come through a little bit of disruption. Hope because we live in an Advent world, don't we? We live in a world with wars and violence and school shootings and addiction and poverty and Christians being persecuted across the globe. A recent resurgence of violence in the Congo has left 25 United Methodists dead and 75 church families displaced just this past week. I think they might read Mary's song and might think, yeah, that's what we need right now. We need God to flip things upside down. And we know from experience that life isn't always picturesque, is it? We don't always get the perfect Christmas that we all wanted. I think Mary's song also reminds us that Jesus wasn't born so that we can get our family together and have a nice party and a nice picture with everyone in their Christmas sweaters. Jesus was born so that God would be with us and that we could be with God, and that might totally change the way we even experience Christmas this year. It might just turn some things upside down. As you all know, Katie and I recently brought home a newborn baby girl. We learned about her on a Thursday and brought her home on a Saturday, for no one knows the day or the hour. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's that the arrival of Eliza into our lives has certainly turned some things upside down. Habits change, priorities change, our sleep changes. Things have been turned upside down. And of course, a child brings with it joy and love, but sometimes we need things turned upside down so that we can reorient our priorities, so that we can reorient the things that matter in our lives. Sometimes we need things turned upside down so that we can experience a different kind of joy and hope and peace and love in our lives. And maybe that's the upside down that we need this year, something that will disrupt, but do so in the best possible way, a way that leads to a new kind of life, a new way of living. Friends, this is the story of Christmas. It's about God putting on the stuff of humanity and joining us. And yes, there is hope and peace and joy in that. But it's also really crazy and radical and amazing. And maybe you would put a little bit of the fear of the Lord within us. Not the kind of fear that makes us cower, but the fear that leads us to awe and reverence. The kind of fear that demands something of us and calls us to reorient and change our lives. The kind of fear that calls us to question because God has become one of us. And as we come on this third Sunday of Advent and we look to and we long for Christmas, we celebrate Christmas because we believe that God is with us. But we celebrate Advent because we believe God's not done with us yet. And God's still not done with us either. So may we be willing to let our lives be turned upside down this Advent, so that when we do get to Christmas, we can proclaim with Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So that whenever we can get to Christmas, we can experience that joy, peace, and hope in a whole new upside down kind of way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.